on Kentucky Fried Children and the Educational Industrial Complex by Bobby Ann Starnes. While on a business trip to Washington, D.C., not long ago, my son, Huck, was given a driving tour of the city. Having suffered through several childhood D.C. vacation trips with his history-crazed mother, he found that the monuments had lost their novelty. To the surprise of his tour guide, his response to the sights was rather jaded. That was, until the car drove past a seemingly uninteresting building, the U.S. Department of Education. "Wait! Wait!" he shouted to the driver. "Pull over! I've got to get a picture of this." Puzzled, but following the command, the driver swerved across two lanes of traffic and pulled to the curb. Huck jumped out, flipped open his camera phone, and snapped a photo he knew I had to see. Moments later, he called me. "I've got a surprise for you, Mom. Check your email," he said in a mischievous tone. Moments later, I clicked open a file, and there it was in all its glory. The massive, impersonal, 1970s bomb shelter-inspired U.S. Department of Education building. The sun glistened off its blast-proof windows. I'd seen that before, but there was something new, something I thought momentarily must have been added by Photoshop. It was a little red schoolhouse, complete with white picket fence. Scrawled across the top of the schoolhouse facade was "No Child Left Behind." I rubbed my eyes. Could this be real? Unfortunately, it was. The Department of Education, ED, somehow had the idea that a little red schoolhouse facade was exactly what was needed to connect the vast, impersonal machinery that is the department to the man in the street. I studied the picture, and for some reason all I could think of was fast food. Perhaps, I thought, the department is finally acknowledging that the programs it all but franchises to schools around the country do more to create Kentucky Fried Children than to turn out well-educated citizens. It is easy to imagine those programs being trucked in from vast storage warehouses, supplying chain store schools in strip mall communities. The good thing about fast food chains is that no matter where you are, the food will be the same. The bad thing is that the same is often inferior. And like fast food, those scripted programs may fill kids up, but they are unhealthy choices full of empty calories and unseen risks. Unlike fast food, they are not cheap. But I was pretty sure that ED was not trying to evoke images of fast food and Kentucky Fried Children. So I wondered what they were trying to convey. For what purpose did they construct the facade? I tried to find out, but that is easier said than done. I couldn't locate anyone at ED who could answer my questions about purpose or process. So I was on my own, and my mind began to try to make meaning out of an image that was somehow beyond my comprehension. I imagined a gaggle of high-paid advertising consultants sitting around a mahogany conference table somewhere inside the bowels of that monster building, trying to come up with ways they might portray humanity in an institution that has little. How could the department make citizens feel it is in touch with real people and real schools, they must have asked. I'll bet it was quite a scene. One pitch after another, followed by hours and hours of debate, punctuated with pages and pages of graphs, charts, and blueprints, and fueled by gallons of coffee, leading to a brilliant insight. "I know," I imagine a nearly deranged ad man finally shouting, "a little red schoolhouse facade at the entryway." What could better convey the warm and friendly image of the U.S. Department of Education? Now, the discussion couldn't have ended there. The idea would have had to be pitched to and approved by more bureaucrats further up the food chain. Then funds would have had to be set aside to pay for its construction. Bids would have had to go out, and a contract would have had to be awarded. It must have taken months and months to move from dreaming of the little red schoolhouse to driving the last nail into the bright red facade. But as a result of the dreamer's persistence, today hundreds of people walk through the little schoolhouse to get to their desks behind the blast-proof windows where they shuffle papers and make decisions that affect children, schools, and communities around the country. And it is sad, really, or it would be if it weren't downright teeth-gnashing frustrating, an empty facade constructed in the forlorn hope of making this hard, cold building and the agency it houses seem all warm and fuzzy. Meanwhile, within 5 miles of the ED entryway, which must warm Margaret Spelling's heart as she walks through it each morning, school roofs leak when it rains, there aren't enough textbooks to go around, and because schools can't afford art supplies or copy paper, teachers buy them with their own money. But there is more to it than that. I'm not sure the little red schoolhouse, at least in the idealized form depicted on the steps of the Department of Education, ever existed. And if it did, it certainly doesn't exist anymore. Around the country, small, community-friendly schools are being closed wherever they are found, and children are being bused far from their homes to large, consolidated schools where they are greeted by metal detectors, armed security guards, and posted lockdown procedures. But pulling this image up to represent No Child Left Behind, NCLB, is in keeping with ED's relentless efforts to focus more on style than substance, and more on image than honesty. And perhaps the little red schoolhouse is designed to create the notion that there was a time in the past when all was well with the world, and that NCLB is the way back to that time. As George Orwell posits in 1984, who controls the past controls the future, and who controls the present controls the past. What NCLB promises, it seems, is that in the future we will return to the past, but the past we will return to will not be the past that actually was. Follow that? And NCLB has created a new phenomenon in American society. I think of it as the educational industrial complex. In his 1961 farewell address, President Eisenhower warned the nation of the danger of the vast military-industrial complex. According to Ike, an increasingly symbiotic relationship between the military establishment, the arms industry, and Congress was creating a significant threat. Taken together, he said, quote, the political, economic, and even spiritual, unquote, influence of the military-industrial complex could affect every aspect of American life. Quote, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence and the potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power which could endanger our liberties or democratic processes, end quote. Lately, there has been a lot of talk about just how visionary Eisenhower's speech was. We don't have to stretch our imaginations very far to see the parallel between the military-industrial complex and the educational-industrial complex. In the December issue of the Cap'n, Ann Lewis wrote of ED's, quote, Little Enron scandal, an incredible tale of influence, intrigue, and incompetence," end quote. We've all heard about Armstrong Williams' $240,000 paycheck for hyping NCLB, about the propaganda commercials that ED had to pull after they were determined to be illegal, about ED employees who earned their advanced degrees through DegreesRUs.com, and about the falsified test scores that made the famous Texas Miracle. I hate sounding like an alarmist. I really do. But I worry about the growing power of the educational industries and the centralized power of ED. I can't find the place where citizens can engage in the education of their children, or where individual communities are able to make decisions that matter for what happens in their schools. It seems that the examples I've listed here, and others that could be listed, demonstrate the unhealthy business and governmental influences that will lead us down a trail toward a disastrous rise of power that endangers our liberties and democratic processes, just as Ike envisioned. There are those who say that, in spite of some shortcomings, NCLB has helped schools in one way or another. I'm not one of those people. Nor am I one of those who would say that ED provides a service that justifies its existence. No Child Left Behind is not an educational plan. It is a political knee-jerk reaction that has created a huge market for textbook and testing companies, the workshop and consultant industry, and the production of narrow, meaningless research. And, perhaps most obviously, NCLB is a soapbox from which a constant war is waged against public education and those who have dedicated their lives to teaching the nation's children. And ED is a self-perpetuating bureaucracy that, no matter how well-intended, cannot disguise its frightening power and be rendered warm and fuzzy. I'm not sure why the photograph of the Little Red Schoolhouse evoked so much angst in my normally optimistic worldview. Maybe it's because I believe that the direction of the Little Red Schoolhouse, minus the romanticized vision, is the direction in which we might best find real solutions to the educational challenges we face. And on some level, I suspect that those who dreamed up the Little Red Schoolhouse facade that welcomes visitors to the Department of Education must know that as well. Maybe with all of our focus on big education, we've lost sight of something quite basic. It takes a village to raise a child, not a bureaucracy.